is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Mexican farm workers struggle in historic Baja California strike.
Mexican farm workers in the state of Baja California are calling for international action. They are calling for dignified wages and an end to labor abuses by the international produce companies that operate throughout Mexico. Our correspondent Clayton Kahn now with more.
Here in the Mexican capital, a group of cultural figures, social organizations, and representatives of farm worker organizations have launched an international campaign to support the resisting workers of San Quintin, who denounce labor exploitation and sub-poverty wages.
We will organize a tour through the U.S. with concerts and meetings with the Latino community so as to inform them of the inhumane conditions in which farm workers are working, and so that people will also not consume or boycott the products of these companies.
Representatives of more than 33,000 farm workers who declared a strike in late March argue that the conditions in the fields have returned to the country's colonial period, with workdays lasting more than 15 hours a day.
Our great politicians say Mexico is transforming, Mexico is in movement. But I think Mexico is moving backwards to before 1810.
The San Quintin Valley is a major producer in fruits and vegetables that are exported primarily to the United States. The workers here pick up to 160 kilos a day, selling for more than $2,000 abroad, while the workers make, on average, $7 a day.
I have grown up here, but the bosses I have seen get their start are now big businessmen. We are not a few. We are thousands of people that have worked here. Sincerely, we don't often have enough to eat.
The workers are demanding a base salary of at least $13 for every 8-hour workday, as well as recognition by companies and the authorities of their own union, as well as sufficient benefits. The farm workers of San Quintin are due to meet with the Secretary of Labor this Friday. However, they affirm that if the authorities do not provide concrete solutions to their demands, they will increase their actions and protests. Clayton Cantalasur, Mexico City.
Hasta México ha llegado la noticia muy alegre que de verlo es diferente. Pues el pueblo ya está en contra de los rancheros y engreídos que acababan con la gente. Y como somos hermanos, la alegría compartimos con todos los campesinos. ¡Viva la revolución! ¡Viva nuestra asociación! ¡Viva huelga en general! El 18 de septiembre de los campos de Deleno salieron los filipinos. Y después de dos semanas para unirse a la batalla salieron los mexicanos. Y juntos vamos cumpliendo con la marcha de la historia para liberar el pueblo. ¡Viva la revolución! ¡Viva nuestra asociación! ¡Viva huelga general!
Well, viva huelga. The general strike, the revolution.
In any language.
In any language. Mexican farm workers in the San Quintin Valley of the state of Baja California are calling for international action to support their demands for decent wages and an end to labor abuses by international produce companies that operate throughout Mexico, primarily for export to the U.S. under the label of Driscoll's. More than 33,000 farm workers declared a historic strike in late March, which stopped work at peak harvest and have continued their protests ever since, waging intermittent strikes and roadblocks and mass mobilizations, which have extended to workers in Washington state.
They compared their working conditions to those that existed during the colonial period, with workdays of more than 15 hours. The San Quintin Valley is a major producer of fruits and vegetables that are exported primarily to the United States. Workers here pick as many as 160 kilos a day that sell for more than $2,000, while the workers make on average $7 a day. The workers are demanding a base salary of at least $13 for every 8-hour workday, as well as recognition by companies and union officials.
We are delighted to be joined by our really good old friend, Eduardo Rosario, executive board member of the New York City chapter of the Labor Council of Latin America Advancement and involved in every labor struggle I can possibly think of, and Al Rojas, a founding member of the United Farm Workers, current president of the Sacramento Labor Council for Latin America Advancement of the AFL-CIO, and we are delighted to have both of you, and this is a critical struggle, and I was thinking about both of you today as, as I ate a strawberry. So I guess the question is, given the fact that these berries are being transported under the label Driscoll, tell us what we, first and foremost, need to know about this really incredible effort on the part of the Mexican farm workers. And do you want to start, Eduardo, or do you want Al to start?
Yeah, I'll start, no problem. First of all, thank you so much for having us here. This struggle, for me, is of extreme importance, particularly when you look at the backdrop of what has recently occurred with the fight and the struggle against Fast Track for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the ongoing struggles of globalization, because the reason why we see struggles like this happening in San Quintin, in the Baja, which is the San Quintin Valley in Baja California, Mexico, is precisely because the San Quintin struggle epitomizes the face, the true face of what the agenda of globalization really represents. It represents the attacks on the right for workers and unions to organize. It's an attack against, in this case, the union, La Alianza, in their struggle to be recognized by the bosses, in this case, Driscoll and others, to be able to organize and bargain collectively, independently of the what we call here in this country company unions that have presently cut sweetheart contracts with these companies, instead of coming to the bargaining table and bargaining with a legitimate union, the real union, La Alianza. This complete disregard and functioning with impunity is happening here in the United States. It's happening in San Quintin. And the reason why this is important for all of us here, because these workers, they all come from Oaxaca, California, working in the fields in San Quintin, working in the fields of California, working in the fields in Skagit, Washington State, working in the fields right here in the state of New York, as well as in the state of New Jersey. These workers, what they're being paid is approximately around $7.50 a day. That's what 100 pesos more or less is the equivalent of. And they're just asking for 200 pesos per day, which is one of us working for $14 a day. This is unconscionable. And it's unconscionable what Driscoll is doing. And it's precisely why these workers have organized and have put forth a campaign to launch and have announced, of what I understand today, in fact, an international boycott of Driscoll, specifically their strawberries.
El Rojas, the oppression is nothing new. It's something that's been for many, many years. But the breadth and dimensions of the protests, especially in March and continuing to this day, have been breathtaking. Can you talk about the beginning of the protests in March and a little bit of what's happening ever since?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to your radio program and to all the people and you who are listening. Thank you also. And also my brother, Eduardo Rosario, who has been instrumental in being a great help in bringing this thing out in the open. Now, these issues of farm labor in the U.S. and, as Eddie has pointed out, different parts of the country is nothing new to the history of farm labor and the labor movement. If we take a look at today's issue, the whole question of these Mexican workers, which is 5 hours from the Mexican border, U.S.-Mexican border, from Tijuana to San Quintin, you have between 90 and 95,000 human beings who, from one reason or another, and in the different states that come from the most extreme poverty, which is Guerrero, Chiapas, Michoacán, Oaxaca, all mostly 90% of them indigenous populations, who, as Eddie has pointed out, the globalization effect in the very beginning, or the whole question of the passage of our government policies with regards to this whole question of the North American free trade agreement, this humongous migration, forced migration that has happened back in 1994 with the signing of the North American free trade agreement, let alone the deaths on the border, people being forced. What many Americans do not understand, that these economic agreements basically eliminated the whole question of farming in Mexico to the tune of elimination of large corporations such as U.S. corporations are now moving in and taking over, but more so much of the corn that is being now shipped and imported into Mexico and hundreds of millions of tons have devastated the corn industry, meaning farmers, farm workers, campesinos with no jobs being forced to this country. Now, what you call GMO corn, which is now being produced in the Midwest, also subsidized by us taxpayers for the sake of fluctuating the market, at the expense of, as usual, going back to the 1930s, with the strikes during the cotton strikes and the food orchards. Nothing's changed, even during the up period of 1965, the infamous grape strike, which was started by the leadership of the Agriculture Workers Organizing Committee, the Filipino leadership that came into Delano, forced the union, or not even union back then, which is the National Farm Workers Association, basically a nonprofit, to decide whether they're going to break the strike. Well, the same conditions, the same effects of the repression of the courts and the government in San Joaquin Valley, in Delano, in Kern County, Tulare counties, was repression, arresting, beating, and jailing people and sending them to prison. And also, as far as many of our people were shot, killed, and murdered. That led us to the boycott as the only nonviolent method of having to buckle in after a sacrifice almost 2.5 years of boycotting the cities. I myself and my family were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and many others, 24 other, 30 so cities throughout the United States. And again, the same plea was all we're talking about is a decent wage, ending sexual abuse, which in this case in San Quintín, as Eddie's pointing out, we have people being paid $6 to $8 a day, $10 to $12 a day, living in property that belongs, private property, to the employer. Now, with the kinds of pressure of people now sacrificing and saying, we don't want to cross the border. We came as far as 5 hours from the border. All we want is a decent job, a decent wage. But the issue here is that the federal government, Mexican government, has refused to enforce the benefits that are prescribed by law, such as Social Security and issues of wages and issues of benefits regarding vacation pay is required by the employers. And most of these employers have not paid into those benefits. There are no hospitals. There are, I think you can count 2 or 3 clinics. There are 5 hours in an emergency situation. It takes them that long to get to the nearest hospital. The government has not heeded to those calls to have them abide by enforcing the law of having their pay the employers into these benefits. But the other issue is the women, that they're under extreme pressure of sexual employment. And in essence, there's a free hand with the supervisors and foremen. And many of these women are traumatized because, one, they can't say anything for fear that their mother or father or husband is going to come down on them because they want to blame them for sake that they fear losing their jobs, or the threat that their husbands are going to lose their jobs. These things are real. These things are situations where people live with those situations, which are the women who are suffering psychological damage and also their families, let alone all these other things that, you know, being issued as a issue that regards to why people in New York and in this country, why it's so important for them to support them. Just imagine if they can't get to a doctor and they're breathing on the strawberries, touching the strawberries, they're sick, unable to get to a doctor. The other question is, very serious, is the carcinogenic poisons that are being injected into the soil. Mother Earth, where these methyl bromide chemicals that have been outlawed in this country, except the strawberry industry in California. I can't speak for other states, but the strawberry industry and the Driscoll Corporation and the Ryder Corporation have been able to be successful with other major farm organizations to deal with this, which means people getting sick, people not knowing that they've been contaminated, and at the same time, we're saying if you protect workers, farm workers, the very most important people who are feeding you every day when you eat, making sure that they're safe, meaning that their food product is safe, protecting consumers. That's why the boycott is the only way, nonviolent way, they will be able to bring the growers to the bargaining table.
Wantu, you've raised the issue, and we should say that the farm workers have faced hundreds of police and army soldiers who were dispersed into the crowds with rubber bullets and tear gas, and there were running skirmishes which resulted in hundreds of arrests. This has been a major ongoing effort, blocking the main highway, stalling traffic for hours, people standing shoulder to shoulder. So the question becomes, in the U.S., we have the U.S.-based berry mix, M-E-X, berry mix, which grows strawberries and raspberries, which is sold under the Driscoll label. So, Eddie, if you can talk about what Al has raised, the issues of higher salary, government benefits, overtime pay, sexual abuse of female pickers. How do we translate this into support? And tell us more about the boycott of the Driscoll brand.
When I was listening to my brother Al Rojas, when he was talking about how the social safety nets and the social services of Mexico have been emasculated and basically they're non-existent for these farm workers in San Quintin, I couldn't help but immediately think about the attacks against here in this country against the social safety nets that are currently happening here against Social Security and unemployment and various other, you know, privatization and deregulation schemes that have made all workers across the globe, by way of these austerity measures, extremely vulnerable. And on top of it all, these workers are sustaining tremendous attacks, as was mentioned regarding the bullets and the rubber bullets, the sexual abuse of women in the fields. But to exacerbate the situation all the more, you have workers and families in debt, essentially bonding them to the employer, further exploiting them because of their vulnerable situation and the conditions by which they are trying to exist under such a extreme oppression. And if this isn't enough, they're faced with evictions precisely because of these employer private property that they may be living on and working. And on top of it all, you have families that are maybe unable to make the claims for the wages that they may not have been paid properly or not at all. That's happening there. That's happening here. Every day. And that's why I made the point that this is clearly the face of globalization. I thought we did away with bonded labor. I thought indentured servitude was gone. But when you actually research the impositions of these austerity measures on a global scale, what the balance sheet of globalization has given us and the neoliberal theory has given us, a theory that has fallen way short of its economic promise, we find actual rises in these precarious situations. We have a rise of these slave-like type conditions. And it's precisely the reason why you have these workers organizing in San Quintin. You have the workers organizing in Skagit, Washington, a campaign that's been wholeheartedly embraced by the Washington State AFL-CIO with dedicated resources. You have a statement that it was issued by the National AFL-CIO demanding that they do the right thing and recognize these workers and their rights to organize and to have a union in their own name. It's precisely why the New York City chapter of the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, as well as the chapter in Sacramento, my brother Al Rojas is the leader of, as well as many other labor organizations and community organizations and people of conscience have endorsed and embraced.
And talk about the boycott. Do we take chains like Walmart and Costco and tell them, don't purchase our, you know, agricultural products from San Quintin until the demands of the workers are met? Is that what we should be
absolutely
doing?
Because, and the reason why we're saying that, because the workers are saying that. We take our lead from them, they themselves, the workers, and the leadership of La Alianza, the union there, the genuine union in the struggle of San Quintin. They've issued an international call for a boycott, and we're saying boycott Driscoll strawberries everywhere. Do not purchase them, do not eat them, don't look at them. Just boycott them.
And Al Rojas, how can people find out more information about this? Who should they contact? And what are some of the other groups that have come on board the boycott?
Well, I think my brother Eddie Rosario here will probably, just before we end the program, give information as to where they can call if people live back east. Obviously, we live off the Facebook, so my name's Al Rojas. And we do have other groups that have, you know, their own event pages. So we can contact us there in order to form their own boycott committees in their respective areas in that regard.
And in here in New York City, if people wish to get information and see how they could get on board, the local email address that's available for everyone is sanquintinnyc@gmail.com. That's sanquintinnyc@gmail.com.
And some of the things that people can do also is there is preparation for launching a boycott to prevent chains like Walmart and Costco from purchasing the products, which are strawberries and raspberries under the Driscoll label until the demands of the workers stop sexual abuse of female pickers, higher salaries, government benefits, overtime pay are met. And we have 1 minute apiece left for each of you, literally. So, Al Rojas, what do you want to tell our workers? And then, Eddie, Al, 30 seconds, what do we tell our listeners?
The people should understand that when you protect farm workers, you protect consumers. And they should boycott this one product, Driscoll, until they come forward. And that they should pass this word on to their own community groups and their organizations and the churches and their school districts that they all abide. And I want to thank you again for allowing us to be on your...
It's our pleasure. And Eduardo
you.
Rosario?
Yes. And
30 seconds.
Yes. And as we have traditionally done in the spirit of solidarity, as a labor movement, as a community of conscience with our brothers and sisters in the environmental movement and civil society as a whole, doing all that we can to support the boycott and to continue to build these ties into the future.
And viva la huelga general.
Viva la huelga.
Viva la huelga general.
Al Rojas, a founding member of the United Farm Workers, president of the Sacramento Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, Eduardo Rosario, executive board member of the New York City chapter of the Labor Council for Latin America Advancement. Indeed, long live the general strike and success for our workers, and boycott Driscoll until they meet the workers' demands.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Nothing to lose except our chains.
has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.